Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Gents, let's try and take our mind off those horrendous new kits that have been launched this week.
Oh, my eyes, Tim.
Let's try and get on with the pod. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, which you can listen to on the Acast app or via iTunes, and subscribe right there. Leave your comments and get in touch at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Phil, refreshed from a week on the Isle of Skye?
Yeah, completely isolated.
Sounds horrendous.
No rugby chat, no internet, no nothing, no phone.
Mm.
It's brilliant. I wasn't being hassled by JB every day.
JB, your week?
I played a brand new game yesterday. I played a game called Try. And this is a mixture of American football, so you can block, rugby, I don't know whether you can tackle or something, I guess, and Aussie rules. And it is the strangest game you've ever played.
Is this a proper regulated rules and stuff?
Or? Yeah, so they're bringing it over from the States. They're touring the UK. It was Lancashire versus Merseyside versus Yorkshire. So there's three teams on a pitch at any one time. So imagine it's a big circle, right?
Like a cricket pitch.
No, that's an oval.
It sounds like something you'd see in Braveheart or something, like three different clans
going against each other.
I won't spend too long explaining it because I could spend literally all day. But the pitch can fit inside a rugby pitch and it's a circle.
Right, okay.
There's five players on each side to start with, but you can interchange as many times as you want. You can have a squad up to 18.
Yeah, it's just brutal, basically, tackling and hitting each other.
Yeah, that's it. But as soon as you make a tackle and you go to ground, the game restarts from the middle. So you think it's really going to be stop-start.
Ah, so you've got to keep the ball moving.
Yes.
Ah, I don't like that.
It's pretty good, actually, I've got to say. I didn't really get it, but towards the end I kind of got it.
Well, there's plenty of rugby to talk about. The Rugby Championship, the Pacific Nations Cup. There's some kits that have been launched this week.
Oh God, they're awful, aren't they? Get onto it later.
Yeah, and we've got a game of rugby social coming up as well, and our A to Z of the Rugby World Cup. This week in the spotlight is Leicester Tigers. We're going to pick their all-time 15 from the professional era. But last week, a little throwaway thing at the end of the podcast has caused so many people to get in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, because we just mentioned, oh, wouldn't it be great if you could. I can't even remember how it started, but it was one little off-the-cuff conversation. And then
a team of farmers.
And we've had so many people saying rugby players that are also farmers. So let's just rattle through the best 15 we could think of, and it's really tough to call.
Well, I'm not even sure it's just 15, it's just a list of, well, just the Irish team. It's a whole Irish team. I mean, we said last week, oh, we could make a team of farmers, but we'd have to exclude the South Africans. Well, the South Africans, and it turns out the Irish, and most of the English.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of English players.
Yeah, quite a few of the Scottish.
So farming seems to be the ideal preparation for becoming a high-profile rugby union international. All right, well, let's just rattle through some of the high-profile rugby farmers then.
Keen Healy. what's his name for Toulon? The amazing guy, prop.
Heyman. Yeah. Tom Young's at hooker. Julian White.
Sean O'Brien.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a clip of Sean O'Brien here. You've got to hear this, actually. Let me just kill this music for a minute. Because Sean O'Brien's done these adverts to promote farming in Ireland.
Of course
and
he has.
Listen to how natural he is. And he doesn't sound like he's just reading a sheet of paper just to the side of the camera at all.
I value any advice and training I get that helps me perform to the best of my ability, be it to improve my general health or fitness or to work better with the team. Behind any successful team or farm lies sound planning, solid training, and a good understanding.
Yeah. Give me wheeling my truck, my tractor load of cash. Thank you very much. So Sean O'Brien's another one.
Yeah, Rory Best, Simon Best, Dan Lydiot apparently is a farmer.
Oh yeah, Dan Lydiot's a farmer.
Peter Winterbottom was Dusty Hare.
Graham Dorr, the old England hooker.
Yeah, was Graham Dorr a farmer as well?
Yeah, yeah. Phil Vickery, did he grow
Phil
up?
Vickery, yeah. Yeah, Phil Vickery.
He's even got a brand of clothes called Raging Bull.
The Youngs brothers.
Yeah, yeah, Youngs brothers definitely were. And their old man, who played for Leicester, yeah, as well, didn't he?
Don't forget the Duplessis boys, who have a farm.
Yeah.
When they're not nursing war victims to health.
And AIDS victims.
Yeah, yeah.
Like heroes. Just a ridiculous number. In fact, you're right. Let's just
Give
up.
It's actually hard. No,
it's harder to pick a non-farming 15 than a farming 15.
I've watched rugby for a long time, and you always assume with rugby, it's like, oh, there's a strong link to the forces because of army rugby and all the rest of it, and they make a big big to-do about it. It's farming. Farming is easily the number one occupation.
It's all that practice stacking cows when
young. Yeah, exactly. They just stack cows everywhere.
But if you think about where farming is done, it's in rugby heartlands. Like, we live in Manchester, and rugby doesn't exist in the middle of Manchester, but you go to Cheshire, and where rugby is, and that's where all the farming is. You go to the southwest of England, loads of farming.
Yeah,
Gloucester. Loads of rugby.
Up in Cumbria and North Yorkshire.
I wonder if there's like some sort of correlation between the parts of England with the most types of cheese and the highest density of rugby clubs.
I do love a cheese board after a game of rugby.
Yeah. So like Gloucester.
Double Gloucester. Red Leicester.
Cheddar's around there. Wensleydale. Cheddar Valley Gorge.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
This needs further investigation, I think.
It really does. Right, so anyway, yeah, there you go. There's loads of farmers. And thank you for everyone getting in touch over the last week. So where do you want to start? With the Rugby Championship, I guess?
Yeah, that's good place to
end. And with that big high-profile game, Australia versus South Africa, did you watch the last 3 minutes of it?
Yes.
Wow.
I've now seen it, having...
not seen it originally.
Yeah, radio blackout during the game. Yeah, wow. Hell of a finish, wasn't it?
To be perfectly honest, as Englishmen as me and Phil are and as Welshmen as you are, it's not really what you want to see in Australia starting to pull it together a bit.
I would say something which probably might not be what everyone wants to hear. I'm not sure it was that higher quality, to be fair. I mean, there were some things which were really good. They were quite matched. I'm not really that bothered about South Africa. Not as bothered as I thought I'd be. I think that those Duplessis boys are actually starting to look a bit overrated now. And this isn't just the South Africa team that played yesterday. This was actually from watching the Super Rugby too. They don't seem to be the force that everyone makes out.
Right, can we just make sure we clip that little bit of the podcast so we can play it back to JB during the World Cup? Well, when 3 months down the line, they've got everything together and they're...
It isn't any secret that South Africa have been hunting for a massive tight head, so...
Yeah.
And also, Schalkberger at 8 just didn't look like a natural 8.
I'm not convinced about that, I will confess.
I'm the same. I mean, obviously, Vermeulen, who's been one of the two best eights in the world for the past 3 years or so, to lose him is a big blow, but he should be back for the World Cup.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
I don't think that's a particularly impressive squad. I mean, I'm not sure if this World Cup is going to be the most closely contested ever, because it feels to me that everyone's kind of evening out now.
Even New Zealand?
I still think New Zealand are...
like a considerable chunk
They showed some weakness.
Weakness against Argentina's driving maul.
Mm-hmm.
Augustine Creevy scoring 2 tries.
But to be fair, that's where England... I think England would have been looking at the Australia-South Africa game going, much like you say, like, we can have any team in the world up front.
I would definitely rank England right up there with both the teams that played in South Africa. In the South Africa-Australia game, definitely.
Yeah, I would say so as well.
What difference did you think Matt Gitto made? Because I guess from my perspective, I thought Australia's fluency of their handling was just awesome to watch.
I thought he was all right. I thought he was anonymous until he made that break.
But they lack a little bit of directness, which makes them sometimes a bit too easy to defend.
Yeah.
But they do get that directness from Kurindrani. And you could see, like, the try, the line he picked, an 82nd minute.
Yeah.
The timing of it and the line to just hit the gap in between the two defenders and have enough from 5 yards out to carry them both over the line.
Did you think that the touch judge must have had a bet on Kieran Drawley scoring a try in the 80th minute? Because when he reviewed it, it's like, yeah, touch line. It was so, so close. Fair play to him. He made his mind up immediately.
Quick decision. And
yeah.
I think right decision. The ball touched the line.
That's fine.
so he does add that directness. But the handling for that Adam Ashley Cooper try.
So good.
That was so slick, wasn't it? The timing of the run, everyone's going full pelt.
I tell you what I did see in that game, and I've never seen it done better, and I don't think I ever will see it done better. The claim of the high ball by Israel Folau.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Just on a different level.
And his step is for a massive lad. It's like I'm going to say good feet for a big lad.
Proper
football cliche. Just good feet in general. But he's a big unit, and
he is a big lad.
There are two men in the world now, maybe three, who, when they play, no matter what your kids have got on the next day, you should run upstairs, wake them up, and say, "Come down, come watch Sonny Bill, come watch Sonny Bill," because it won't happen again. And it's same with Israel. Israel Folau. Maybe George North, but I don't think he's up there with those two.
Folau did actually get out-jumped for the Etzebeth try.
Oh, he did,
By Habana, who tapped
wow.
it back. And then, I mean, Folau was stationary, wasn't it? Habana was coming at full pelt, which is still, he's still motoring some.
Yeah, I think South Africa are in a weird place now where they feel quite old, and yet the replacements coming in are very, very young. So
yeah, I can see that.
The 13 that scored, Phil knows his name.
Jesse Creel.
What a try.
Yeah. I mean, he's already been touted as one of the best Springboks of all time. That's his debut. So, you know, I just think they're not in the right place for a World Cup.
I think they're not far off. Like, so that back row, Scout Berger, you swap him with Vermeulen, and then you have Koitse and Francois Lowe. That is like one of the best back rows in the world by swapping one player in.
Yeah,
and that'll make the pack different as well, because it'll give them more go forward, get more front football. So I don't think they're far away. I do agree that they're not as intimidating as they have been in the run-up to other World Cups as things currently stand.
Yeah, I get that. We'll see come the end of the Rugby Championship and we'll get a better picture.
Can you remember two players, I put this on Twitter, two players playing for the national team, both who have captained it and both who are world-class in their position.
And you're talking Pocock coming on for Hoops?
Yeah. Which one do you go with? I mean, you're going to have to be tempted to play 6 and 7, aren't you?
Have to be tempted to.
The only problem with that is, if you've got Will Skelton, you're losing the line-out. You've not really... Will Skelton is not a great line-out jumper just because he weighs 140 kg.
Mm.
And those two are both...
140, is it?
I think he's more than that.
Oh, my God.
That's like 120, isn't it?
Wow.
And those two, they're both under 6 foot, so they're not the best jumpers, but they add so much around the park.
They're both incredible. They're both absolutely incredible. And my favourite part of the game, I think, was the pickup from South Africa. Schalkberger runs straight into Hooper, and it was almost like a school
on their own line.
Oh, it was amazing. And he picks him up.
Hooper
and
wrapped him up.
Back over his own line.
Yeah.
It was impressive stuff.
I've been reading a lot of... online chat stuff about who to pick, Hooper or Pocock or both of them, and some people are saying they'd go for Pocock at 8 ahead of Higginbotham, but then you're losing a bit of the ball carrying, but the general consensus was that, albeit Pocock scores a lot of tries for the Brumbies on the back of the rolling maul and his breakdown work is probably the best in the world, Hooper, in every other regard, is slightly better.
His engine is ridiculous.
And also, just throw us into the mix. Michael Checker sees potentially George Smith as an 8. So you could have like the magnificent sevens.
The 3 sevens.
All of them. I mean, how do you win your own? How do you keep hold of your own ball for more than a few minutes?
Yeah.
It's going to be very. It's going to be very, very difficult.
But it also, like, if you do have those two, it means when the opposition are kept taking the ball in, you've got to have two or three support runners every single time. So you've got to like completely blitz over commit to every single ruck.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to lose the ball.
Lose it anyway.
You might lose it anyway, but it changes the attacking mentality because you're going to over commit to every single ruck.
Exactly.
So it is, I think it's a viable option, although if you do it, you've got to have Horwill starting rather than Will Skelton in the row.
Horwill made a big impact when he came in. With his ball carrying. Just the intelligence, much as you said earlier with Kurindrani, there's a few ball carries and Horwill just hit the gap. He's a classy player.
The Rugby Championship will only benefit one team, and that's Australia. I think with Argentina, it's going to be too attritional. They'll come limping into World Cup. I think with the All Blacks, they're going to have shown off all their tricks and we're not going to be as intimidated. I think Australia are going to use it to tinker and finally get the team that they need.
I think, well, the All Blacks, they changed a few things up, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they're also using it to probably gauge their best team. Yeah. So I think the All Blacks, because they've got so much depth as well, even if they do lose a couple of players, they can bring in
a couple more Fijians, I guess.
It is a fact for you. Bearing in mind, we're just a couple of months away from the World Cup. You'd think that there would have been public interest in this. I mean, on New Zealand television, they played that. They put on TV the Maori All Blacks against New Zealand Barbarians, which is basically kind of the best of the rest that aren't in the All Blacks team. They put that on telly. So, you know, New Zealand playing in the Rugby Championship a couple of months ahead of a World Cup would be... There was only 17,000 people in the ground.
I noticed this. I noticed it in Australia as well. The whole upper deck was completely empty.
Yeah.
17,000.
That was for the B teams or the A teams?
No, that was for the Argentina match.
Argentina game.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't it only a small stadium, though?
Well,
I mean,
I did notice that there was porter cabins. It looked like they were playing at Kingston Park or somewhere.
It is only an 18,000-seater stadium.
Oh, right, okay, so fair enough. It was pretty much a sellout.
Close to a sellout, yeah.
Because a few interesting things I noticed about this game, which is, one, isn't the fern on the chest silver?
Yeah.
And if so, why do they light up the one in Christchurch gold? It's just a point.
good, interesting point.
Interesting.
It's being generous, Tim.
It's being very generous. It's a point. Just returning back to Australia and their players, they've got Gitto back and Drew Mitchell back. And Quade Cooper now looks like he's turned his back on a 4-year deal with Toulon. Looks like he's going to be staying and has signed a contract with the ARU and is going to... What's the renege on his deal that he's signed with Toulon for big money. And Marad Boujalad not happy.
Not surprisingly. You spend big money on a player. You want to build a team around him.
As long as there's no money being changed hands, I mean, he should honour his contract.
You shake hands with someone, then you should kind of...
Yeah, I assume he's actually signed. So I don't know if Boujalad always loves to talk about a bit of litigation, doesn't he? So I wonder if he'll come for compensation.
Well, I also think they've probably got off lightly there because I think Quade Cooper's a marvellous player. But I don't think he's a Toulon player.
Oh, I think he could. With the talent around him, he can do whatever he wants, can't he?
But he does whatever he wants anyway.
I don't see that being better with all that talent around him.
And another one, because I think it was Rob Horn, looks like he might have injured himself. The badge has been called back into the Australia squad.
Thank God.
from America, where he's been out there, because, of course, the Pacific Nations Cup's going on and a lot of players are being sent around the world to try and promote the game. Nick Cummins being one of them. And it turns out that he probably did more damage than good by appearing on Australian TV because they couldn't understand him.
Oh, on American TV.
On American television.
The Honey Badger's talents know no geographical bounds, this time popping up in the US to confuse news teams with his Australiana.
If you're a single Sheila and you're trying to find an Australian bloke...
A single Sheila?
Yeah. You duck off down there to Australia. You go to the Red Centre, you'll find there's a few shearers, a few stockmen. And there you'll find an Australian bloke.
They could barely understand him.
I only just started wearing a mouthguard. I suppose 2 years I played without wearing a mouthguard until I finally got some. I got a bit whack on the gob and.
On the what?
On the gob, on the mouth, on the laughing gear we call it.
Nick, that's it. They didn't understand. It was the whole interview. He was like, "What? You what? What you saying?
What do you do?
Hey,
I bet he's a farmer." Bet he's got some farming.
Oh yeah.
So of course he has
sheep herd or something.
But he could be back in the Aussie squad during the next game. JB.
Oh Jay.
That should be another naked picture of you from your stag do
on the Acast app.
On the Acast app. New Zealand looked ominous, didn't they? It looked one at a canter.
Yeah, it didn't look like great conditions, but when they're throwing the ball about, this is what I love about New Zealand. They don't always play rugby, as in they'll play territory, they'll kick, they'll just play that kind of simple attritional game. And then when they want to turn it on, the speed of passing, the hands, the drawing a man and going, it's just
Do you not feel it was the other way around? They did all that to start with, and then at the end, that's when they got caught.
No, they create the position to do it at the right time. And if it's on, they'll do it at any time.
Mm. There was one part of that game, and it wasn't anything which will stick in the memory, but it was open field play. The ball comes across the back line. I think it was one of the Franks boys got the ball, a bit of feet, shipped it wide. I was like, they're basic skills.
Yeah.
I mean, they are legitimate when they're talking about, You know, they can catch, they can all catch, they can all pass, they can all do the basics really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get back onto looking ahead to the next round of Rugby Championship matches, and we'll get onto the Pacific Nations Cup in just a second. But there's something we've got to talk about before we deal with anything else, because that was the good. We're getting to talk about rugby again, and that's brilliant. But there's something very, very bad. There's another good thing. Let's just represent that. Canterbury have once again come up trumps when they had the Ireland kit launch.
Oh yes,
early this week, Paul O'Connell and the rest of the Ireland boys were all wearing boots. And they let us know that they did it, so we'd be happy, and our followers would be happy. So,
and we are happy. We are very happy.
We are very, very happy with Canterbury. So that campaign has worked. So that's brilliant. And the Ireland kit, much like the England kit, looks simple.
Superb. Yeah.
Very, well, very nice.
Well tailored. Nice. Like it a lot. Let's get on to some other kits that have been launched then. Leicester Tigers have launched their first team strip for the new season.
Ugh.
And Gloucester have launched their European kit for the new season. Now, if you think back to last season, this time last year and the season before, we were talking about this being the golden age of stash. And particularly, I think Leicester Tigers have had our favourite kit in recent memory, haven't they?
Absolutely. I think I myself described them as running around like Jaguari types.
Yeah.
Real classic racing green.
That was the plain green with the white and red strip across the chest.
Which I believe is actually a Canterbury kit.
It was a Canterbury
kit. Beautiful Canterbury kit.
However, are we going to stand for that Leicester kit? That is a terrible, terrible kit. Can you try and describe it as best you can?
I don't know what happened.
Well, what's happened is last season, Gloucester had the worst kit in the league with Cougar. And Leicester had one of the best kits in the league with Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And now Gloucester have got rid of Cougar and Leicester have taken Cougar. And they've just ruined what was very simple.
It's awful, isn't it?
Beautiful.
It is so...
I mean, it would be fine if it was
awful.
So what they've done is they've got green stripes, thick green stripes.
That bit's fine.
Okay, happy with that.
And then in the white stripe, they've decided to have this fade from green to white.
Why?
As you go left to right.
Yeah. Why is it necessary? And it's like a child who's only just discovered paint shop.
But the other problem is that we're looking at four strapping Leicester players there wearing the kit, and it doesn't seem to fit any of them. We want nice, tight.
Who's that one?
Owen Williams.
Of course
Wales
it is.
Fly
of course
half, it is. Owen Williams. They all look deeply upset by this, don't they?
I'm deeply upset by this.
Miles Benjamin in particular looks like he's about to cry.
I don't know. A lot of modern sports kits do this, but like the arms always seem funny. Like they've strapped them on as a side thought.
Leicester have had some terrible kits. That camouflagey one a few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was horrendous.
That was awful. And then they got their act together with the...
Oh, big time.
With the last couple of years of kits, but this one has just gone back.
I've got a new rule now, and it should be implemented. There is something in this. A team should not be able to change its kit for 5 years. And every away kit should be white. Unless your home kit's white.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
That's like American sports,
now,
isn't it?
Just think about this. The Americans, the most commercially driven of all nations, and in the NFL, they're not allowed to change their kits for 5 year blocks.
Yeah.
You've mentioned it.
And
before.
more people buy the shirts because, you know, they're not going
to
go out of fashion.
Personally, I think Jeff Parling, Julian Salvi and co were just about to sign new contracts until they saw the prototype.
I think
for this new kit.
100% right. But do you know what? In the future, we're going to look back at that kit, say 10 years down the line, and we're going to look at it and go, oh, when was that? Like early 90s? You know, no. And we're going to think there's going to be like a mistake with the dating and stuff.
It is terrible. But let's talk as well. We're talking about ill-fitting kits that have got terrible design. We thought Gloucester's...
It was their Sevens and Academy
kit.
That was horrendous.
We thought that was bad. And then they released their European kit that they will be wearing this season.
What were they doing?
Well, we've decided one little... if you watch Game of Thrones, you'll know where this is from. If not, you just need to listen to the content of it, because we're sending this message to the kit makers of Leicester Tigers and Gloucester, because you deserve this.
Shame. Shame.
I couldn't agree more.
Shame.
So describe that. It's like a Japanese samurai outfit. Do you know what I mean? With the
maybe
it's kind of
Mitsubishi in the middle as well.
Oh, that might be something to do with it. You know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're being culturally insensitive. Or, on the other hand, they're being culturally insensitive because we were very clear it should be full hoops. Full hoops.
I'm still...
With white. Where's the whites?
I'm still holding out hope that they're just... This is a brilliant marketing trick.
Yeah, I think it might be.
That first team kit is going to be traditional, classic Gloucester.
They even remove the sponsors.
Yeah, cherry and white hoops, blue shorts.
Oh, navy shorts. Imagine. This one is... I mean, is this the ultimate punishment for being dropped from the first team?
Like, no, this is a European kit, so this will be first choice players.
Thank God they're not playing in the Heineken Cup. They're not playing in the Heineken Cup, are they?
But it's another kit that doesn't fit.
Yeah, why, the arms are baggy.
Why doesn't it fit?
The arms are baggy.
Is it a fan replica or something? Or is this the actual match weight kit?
These are big lads. Why are these not tight shirts?
Phil has his hand on his forehead in exasperation. Yeah, there's nothing else to say but shame. Shame on you, and we hope that Gloucester... I mean, their first team kit is going to have to be spectacular to make
I've
up
got
for
a feeling
these two
it
kits.
Is going to be spectacular. I mean, they've got all the bad ideas out the way now.
We hope so.
How about vertical stripes? Yeah, okay.
Right, there's some other news. Back to the England camp, and Sam Burgess is being... Well, Stuart Lancaster has said in an interview... that he is considering Sam Burgess as a centre, not as a six.
Has this been taken out of context a little bit?
Well, when I first saw this, I shook my head in hand moment again. But then I actually listened to the interview, and I think that's going to be the headline, but it is taken a little bit out of context, because what Lancaster said was that Sam Burgess isn't technically proficient enough at the line-out on the set piece to play six, in a similar vein to... Tom Wood, Haskell, Tom Croft, two of the people being considered for the sixth position. Yep. So he could only possibly be considered for a centre, which for me, if you read into that, means that he is very, very unlikely to be making that 31.
I can't see it. I really can't see it.
I can't see it. As a six, if he could get the technical bits around in the line out, maybe.
But I just don't understand
but
that either.
Not as a centre.
At the highest level of the game, yeah, I get it. You can play 6 and 13, but is that really what you want? Do you really want to be relying on a 6/13 to
come
on?
I think basically what I'm taking from this is Sam Burgess would have to be of such a high standard to make Stuart Lancaster change his structure, game plan, or Graham Rowntree, maybe, whoever does the lineouts, structure and game plan, because three jumpers, including the 6, as you say, Tom Wood, Tom Croft, have always been important line-out jumpers when they've played in the past.
Well, it also feels to me like Bath have binned off this centre idea altogether. I know they say that they can have a bench split and the rest of it, but I don't believe it, and I don't think they really believe it. And this whole camp, if he's been working at 12, it just seems like a complete and utter waste of time.
No, well...
I think they would have taken him into the camp thinking of back row, but maybe his proficiencies in the line-out just...
Means I just get rid of him and bring in Dave Ewers or someone. I mean,
which they probably will do when the squad gets
they don't need to bring
cut down
in
again.
Got,
I mean, if they really
numbers.
Want a spare centre who can play in the pack, they could probably use Tom Youngs. I mean, seriously, he'd probably be just as good.
This comes in the same week that Lawrence Delalio said there's a special aura around Sam Burgess, and he hopes that he might make the squad because of the leadership qualities he's shown and the sort of the mental toughness that he shows, which Lawrence Delalio said is massively crucial for winning a World Cup.
I think it's good that he's in the squad. I think the squad will benefit from having someone with that kind of experience in there.
Yeah.
Like a year ago, less than a year ago.
What kind of experience? Though?
Less than a year ago, he was Man of Steel in the NRL Grand Final. Yeah. Just having that kind of experience. But also, for Sam Burgess, his future in the next 4 years in the build-up to the next World Cup is probably playing six. So just having this kind of development over these next few months will be invaluable to him.
I just don't think it's fair. I really don't think it's fair. If he's just there to gain experience for 4 years' time, there'll be plenty of other opportunities.
They wouldn't give it to a player who really wants it.
But it's everything. Yeah. Both parties will be benefiting from the arrangement.
Yeah, elsewhere, we'll get on to the Pacific Nations. Oh, actually, do you want to do the Pacific Nations Cup now?
Yeah, let's
do the Pacific Nations Cup.
I've not seen it, so you have to tell me what happened.
No, that's fine. So the Pacific Nations Cup, some people might not even be familiar with the competition.
No, I'm not.
But it's happening in the States currently. And it's involving... Which nations is it? It's Samoa...
There's two pools.
Yeah.
Japan, Samoa, Tonga, and Fiji, United States, Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Which, so it's all that sort of middle tier of teams in the world rugby. So take away the top four, well, take away the top six, the Six Nations, and take away the Southern Hemisphere Rugby Championship sides. And it's kind of everyone else. I think it's brilliant that they're getting together. And
is this going to be played every year?
Yeah, it is played every year.
Is it?
It's been played. They've been kind of playing around with the Churchill Cup and having some of the second tier, the second teams, England, Saxons,
yeah,
and New Zealand Maoris, and that kind of thing. But I think this is a really good tournament. Like, all those teams are fairly evenly matched, and you can see by the results from week one that they're fairly evenly matched. Fiji beat Tonga 30 points to 22. If you've seen any of the highlights of this, it's absolutely brutal running. Like, some incredible tries. Really good to watch. Then Japan beat, I think, a slightly weakened Canada by 20 points to 6.
Is your boy playing?
No. Cudmore and Jeb weren't playing.
What?
Hence why I say it's slightly weakened.
Podcast favourites.
Yeah.
Jeb Sinclair and Jamie Cudmore.
And then Samoa beat USA 21 points to 16.
And how was the USA team? Was that at full strength?
Not far off, yeah. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the full strength starting US lineup would be.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But Chris Wiles was playing, Nguyen Yu was playing, Blaine Scully, yeah, Hayden Smith, Eric Fryan.
The Frymaster.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the year Japan finally win a game. They haven't won one in 24 years.
In the World Cup.
In the World Cup, no.
No.
Never won a World Cup match.
That's incredible. I did not know that.
But under Eddie Jones, they've made real progress.
They're a good scrimmaging unit. Yeah. I mean, they are a legitimately good scrimmaging unit.
And Eddie Jones basically says, we're not going to try and play physical rugby, so we've been working for 4 years now on playing a quick, loose game. Because
this is a test of a good team, but they smashed Russia when we saw them 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Minus Eddie Jones, because he didn't come over.
Yeah. But if you saw, I've only seen the brief highlights of Japan-Canada. If you saw the try that they scored, the feet from the inside centre, and then the hands to set up the winger was superb. It's lovely.
Now, if you want to talk about a nice stash, have a look at the new Japan stash.
Yes.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Ooh, it is.
Yes,
is
that, very much so.
Is that another Canterbury?
It is another Canterbury.
Bearing in mind, if you listen to the podcast for any length of time, you know that... we are on good terms with the guys from Canterbury, and they've given us some great opportunities to speak to players, and we do good stuff for them.
We do
good stuff for them, and they get great interviews and stuff for us. It's a mutually beneficial thing. But when we compliment their kit, I think it's important to say we have to keep our own integrity, because if for example Leicester's new kit had been made by Canterbury, believe us, we would have called it out as a bad kit.
Yeah,
it's so, a difference, isn't it?
We have to keep our integrity, is what I'm saying. But
absolutely.
That said, Canterbury's kits are they're beautiful.
Well,
at the minute.
It's kind of like the difference, isn't it? Of going to get a suit made, and in one instance you go to, I don't know, Savile Row, and in the other instance you go shopping around Urban Outfitters. You know, you're going to have two completely different looks, completely different. And Canterbury have been around; they know what the score is, and that's why they make these exceptional kits.
We were critical a couple of years ago about one of the Canterbury Island shirts, which didn't seem to fit right.
Yeah,
funny collar. But since then, I think virtually every Canterbury shirt that I've seen is very, very good. I'd say the same with Adidas as well. I'm a big fan of the Adidas kits.
Mm. Yes, I completely agree. So Pacific Nations Cup is going on. We'll get into the next week's worth of fixtures. But I'll tell you what, we have something we haven't done for a while. I've got a rugby social.
Yes!
So we know how much rugby players love to get on Twitter and social media.
Straight after this, we should talk about the banning of rugby socials, which is in the rugby initiations.
Rugby initiations.
That's it.
Yes, we should. But so this is just a little game that I've got to celebrate how much rugby players just love getting on social media to share their life. So this is the life of some rugby players, and JB and Phil, you can play against each other. First question. Which rugby player has this week signed a deal with a modelling agency?
Ooh. I know this one.
Is it Mike Phillips? Is it James Haskell? Or is it Gavin Henson? One of those players has signed a professional modelling deal.
Who's the most handsome? That's the first one. Well, that goes without saying, but he won't have had it because he's not in the spotlight.
Who's it going to be, JB?
It's going to be James Haskell for me.
Phil?
I think I've seen a tweet that says it was Mike Phillips.
Oh, so obvious.
It was Mike Phillips.
Why didn't you go with your heart?
You know, that would have been Henson, surely.
Mike Phillips has signed with MOT Models.
MOT Models?
Yeah.
For the slightly older model.
And, they unveiled him as their latest signing. He's modelled the Racing Metro and Wales substitute or reserve shirt quite well the last couple of seasons, so might as well do a bit more modelling.
Team models. So, didn't pass, mate.
1-0 to Phil. Right, Nigel Owens, after refereeing the South Africa-Australia game, tweeted that he was looking forward to coming home for, was it, the final round of the Open? Was it the Royal Welsh Show? Or was it England losing the Ashes Test?
It's not England losing the Ashes Test because it's England and Welsh Cricket Board. So you can discount that. Second of all, why would Tim say Royal Welsh Show if it wasn't the Royal... It doesn't just... It's going to be the Royal Welsh Show.
Yeah. He's very patriotic as well, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah. Huh? He's a Welsh speaker, isn't he?
Better than me.
I would go with that as well, the Royal Welsh Show.
It is the Royal Welsh Show.
Yes.
He's refereeing the final of the Sevens tournament.
What you should have done there, you should have gone for something equally as Welsh and obscure, like the Eisteddfod.
Right, so it's still 2-1 to Phil. Final one. Best you can do is draw. Next question. Chris Ashton was very impressed by Alex Corbisiero rapping in that video we played last week.
Well, that's not true.
James Haskell's gun show workout or Kelly Brown's turn of speed in some preseason training videos. There's three videos online. Alex Corbisiero rapping. These are all videos that are there. James Haskell's gun show workout and Kelly Brown doing some speed testing. Chris Ashton tweeted he was very impressed, but by which one?
I'm going to say.
So I could go for that and just guarantee the draw.
Yeah, I didn't do too well there, did I?
But I'm going to say the Kelly Brown. I think someone will have... He'll have viewed the Saracens video online and will have commented on it. Even though he's in Denver at the moment.
Are they not back yet?
No, I think they're still in Denver.
It was the Alex Corbisiero video.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yes. So last week there was only, 2,000... 1,000 views of it.
Okay.
When we play when we talked about it, and there's now a lot more.
Like how many roughly?
Now there's 3,000. So
200% increase.
Yeah.
It's basically all of our fans
and Chris Ashton. Raising up the decibel. I'm
pretty special, like the Henny festival.
It's this bit, it's the gorilla. Damn, I don't mean to trouble you. Tonight is brought by... Oh, I was waiting for the gorilla bit. I'm the killer, gorilla. I'm the killer, killer. I'm the lady
thriller. Built like a gorilla, mixed with a favourite chinchilla. No, can I tell you something very interesting about gorillas? And you can look it up right now. I'm assuming he's talking about his build because he's got broad shoulders.
Yeah.
Because gorillas have a 1-inch penis.
They have this, they have
the smallest penis of any primate
relative to body size. Yeah, it's
no,
the
no,
smallest.
No, just the smallest penis.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Google it.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's just generic penis that you're looking at there.
An adult gorilla's erect penis is about 4 centimeters, 1.5 inches in length.
There you go. Someone knows his primate's genitalia.
When, no, I never thought that I would use the fact button for such a fact.
Yeah.
But good work. Well done, Phil, on winning Rugby Social this week.
Yes, thank you.
And well done on Rugby Players for your brilliant tweets. Please keep them coming. Right. So we've got some stuff to look at. JB, you've been looking at a Leicester 15 for the professional era. So
yes, Tim, I have.
We've been moving through the Premiership clubs bit by bit. And we're going to be picking out the all-time 15, the players that have worn that shirt best during the professional era. Leicester Tigers, one of the most decorated, well, no, the most decorated team in domestic English rugby. It's got to be hard to pick.
Well,
it'd be really hard to pick if you went back to the amateur era as well,
absolutely.
Back to the age of...
But I wouldn't have a clue what I was doing. And also it'd be like, you know, the two-man front row and all the rest of it. What struck me about this is the consistency. So, like, there's no... I mean, there are some very, very good players. But, you know, in some teams you have the absolute star. Well, with Leicester, it kind of seems that... Well, there was one guy that stands out. But everyone else kind of seems to be there or thereabouts.
Here we go, then.
I'd be interested to hear who your one guy that stands out. Because
there's only one guy that stands out.
There was a lot of very good players.
No, there's only one guy.
Okay.
I know where he's going with this.
I know
where he's going already. All right, go on, then.
So... Front row, I've gone for Garforth, Cockers and Rowntree.
The ABC club.
Boring, but...
That actually was the ABC club, wasn't it? There were three that were the ABC.
Well, would they have been the professional era? When did they stop playing?
Yeah, they are, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the reason I know this is because I only really started watching rugby in the season that Northampton won their first Heineken Cup.
Right.
So I can categorically say that this is true.
Fair enough.
Would you put Cockers ahead of Dorian West?
And Ayerza.
Let's talk about some of the ones I missed out then. So there's Ayerza, there's Cole, both formidable props.
Wow.
White, and a guy whose name I can't read, so I don't know what.
Castro Giovanni.
Castro,
perhaps.
Thank you. That's exactly what.
Their front row is always going to be pretty strong.
And as for Hooker, West, I think, is the next closest. But you know who I kind of thought wouldn't have been spoken about, but should be, is George Shooter, who spent an awful lot of time there.
He spent about 16 years.
Like, like 200 appearances. Yeah. You know, did a damn good job.
You could have three incredible front rows.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Four incredible front rows I'm looking at right here.
Oh, yeah, there are many, many more.
Wow, you've got about 12 or 15 world-class...
Well, I think
players.
I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, but I think most of their money goes into the front five and the inside centre. And then everything else is kind of whatever. Do whatever you want.
Who are your second rows then?
Well, okay, so it's one guy plus whoever you want. So
Martin
Johnson, and that's one guy who I thought is just head and shoulders above everyone else.
Oh, not Miles Benjamin.
Not Miles Benjamin.
Yeah, Martin Johnson.
Captain.
Yeah,
captain of the
team. Do whatever you want with him. He's just there.
He was captain during both of their Heineken Cup wins.
Yeah.
No.
2001.
I want to thank a couple of people that have sent me in teams, and I can't remember the names, but they have actually they've actually gone with Deacon for the other second row.
Louis Deacon, yeah.
Which I think's madness because I understand he's a good clubman, blah blah blah, but there's Ben Kay.
Yeah.
It was Ben Kay. World Cup winner, Lion, all-round legend. I mean, that would be the obvious one for me. You can make an argument for Leo Cullen. And also, maybe with someone like Parling.
Well, no, Cullen was more on the bench for Leicester. That's why he went to Leinster and then won all his trophies there, really.
He only had a couple of seasons at Leicester as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Him and Jennings.
I think Ben Kay and Johnson is a good shout with an honourable mention for Louis Deacon.
Yeah.
He's a fan's favourite.
The only other one would be, could you move Curry into the second row?
Well, you could, but their pickings at eight are not great.
Yeah, they're, you're quite right.
So I've got Corey as the eight, which is as uninspired as it gets. But other than Corey, there's only Henry Tuilagi.
Henry Tuilagi. Jordan Crane's had a long period, but...
Oh, Jordan Crane, no. Absolutely. Yeah. I've not even listed him down.
But yeah,
JB's actually fuming that you've even mentioned his name.
you've ruined the whole feature.
All-time greatest.
Done, it's ruined.
Dean Richard played two seasons in the professional era.
Did he? I don't think that's enough, really.
No, I don't either. So, Corey.
And
then...
Now, the back row, there's not really many outstanding sixes. If you can get me an outstanding six...
Tom Croft.
Is probably the best.
Yeah. Tom Croft, in my opinion, is six.
And then you're back to the front row issue that you've got about half a dozen sevens to choose from.
I would have gone with... For the back row, I'd have gone with Back at one, seven.
Yeah, he's
and
the first.
I'd go with Moody at
then
six.
Moody. Oh, okay.
Which is... Those two started 6 and 7 in the 2002 Heineken Cup final.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean...
I love having you on the team, Phil.
Fact. Moody should have really left because Moody was understudy to Back and then Cronfeld came in.
Yeah.
So actually, they kind of played those three in rotation anyhow. It doesn't really matter. So, I, as much as I enjoy Tom Croft's 1.8 games a year, I'm going to go with Back and Moody at 6 and 7.
Okay.
The honourable mention for Cronfeld.
I can go with that. And even other sevens we've not mentioned. Serge Betson went there, of course.
No, he didn't.
Oh, no, he went to
Wasps.
Sorry. Forget that. Josh Cronfeld, yeah. Moved on. That's a pretty good looking pack, that.
It is. But I'd say what gets you about it. I mean,
oh, yeah. I'm going to say Waldrum as well as an 8, potentially.
Not really. No. Not really for Leicester.
No, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just a note about decent. That is just the consistency. I mean, there's no real stars outside of Johnson. But even Johnson wasn't a star. He was widely recognised as the best player in the world.
Yeah, the best lock in the world.
But it's just that kind of... It's just so Leicester, which is, you know, surprising for Leicester 15.
Nine.
I haven't made a list. I've just gone with Austin Healey. Because you could probably say Ben Youngs.
Or Harry Ellis.
But I think Healey is the quintessential Leicester nine. I did think of moving him to the wing. So actually, you could put...
Austin Healey at nine.
Yeah, Healey at nine.
Ten.
Yeah. It's got to be Andy Goode. And this isn't a joke either. I mean, this is a genuine selection. This is where he played all of his best rugby. This is where he got his England caps. It's also where he won lots of trophies.
Yeah.
And outside of Goode, you've only got Flood. Because you couldn't really put George Ford in there.
JB, that's twice.
What is wrong with you?
It's also the place, Leicester Tigers is also the place where Andy Goode, we assume, refused to be weighed. and getting a proper weigh-in.
Exactly. Why should he?
Well, he's refused to be weighed ever since then. Leicester might have been his only official weigh-in because everywhere still lists him as 97 kg, which we all know is not true.
It's absolutely true. It's on Wikipedia.
I bet London Irish will be down as 97 kg.
You could go...
It's been slim pickings at 10 as well, hasn't it?
Serevi?
Toby Flood, why Charlie Serevi, yeah.
He wouldn't train in the cold. So it has to be Andy Goode, I'm afraid.
Centre, now we're getting interesting.
Yeah, now Leicester spend a lot of money on 12, and I think it's been one of the cleverest moves that they make as a club, actually. I'm not going to tell you the guys that did. I'll tell you the guys that didn't make it. So Gibson, All Black. Aaron Major, All Black. Rod Kafer,
Wallaby,
yeah.
And Anthony Allen, legend. But I went with
Pat Howard. Ram Benny as well. You've got to remember him. He was awesome for Leicester.
He was very, very... Well, the original Tuolagi was a 12.
Yeah.
Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original and best, some might say.
Ram Benny was awesome for Leicester. But you're going with... you're going with Pat Howard, yes.
Yes.
Now, what a player.
Yeah, I mean, Greenwood as well. I mean, I've listed Greenwood as a 13.
Greenwood had to leave Leicester because of Pat Howard.
Yes.
Because he wasn't getting enough game time.
Pat Howard was phenomenal. He was so very good. And people don't give him enough credit for exactly how good he was. He was spectacular. Lloyd is my 13.
Lloyd is your 13?
Not Manu, no.
To me, it was a straight shot between Lloyd and...
Leon Lloyd?
Ollie Smith.
He was a winger.
He started at 13 in the 2001 Heineken Cup final.
And he scored the winning try as well.
He did. He scored two tries.
Yeah.
Leon Lloyd. He's a great
bloke
and a solid club man. But
and also,
I'd
CEO.
Say he's like the Ed Slater of the backs. He's excellent, but not...
I just think the era where they were most dominant was right in his prime and he nailed down that 13 shirt. You can't really argue with that.
You could have had Greenwood there as the outside centre.
Yeah, but Greenwood only had a couple of seasons.
He only had three, four seasons.
Greenwood's only there for his name value, really.
Yeah.
Manu would push him. I think Ollie Smith also
Yeah.
That's a really good fight.
But Ollie Smith was a very average player, but he managed to get on a Lions tour for because of his performances, and England caps because of his performances.
Do you know
for Leicester.
The rumour was about Ollie Smith and why he didn't have more international caps.
Go on.
Well, the rumour was, when Andy Robinson was in charge, he had very complex systems. So it was like, there's six defensive systems for each time they write a certain line. So 22 is six options at the halfway. And apparently he just wasn't bright enough to play for England.
Well, Leicester fans, tell us if you think Leon Lloyd is the right selection at 13 at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. But onto the wingers then.
Well, I think we're best starting at fullback, perhaps.
Yeah, so this is the hardest one to choose, actually, because Jordan Murphy seems to have it hands down. We could all agree.
Yeah.
Jordan Murphy, one of the best fullbacks ever to play in the Premiership, I'd say.
Yeah. So it's really a case of who is the better winger out of Murphy and Stimpson, because one of those two, they're both playing, but one of them has to play on the wing.
You play Murphy on the wing.
I think you
play He's a more effective winger than Stimpson is a winger.
Correct, yeah. So I've gone with Stimpson at fullback.
Dean Richards would agree with you, because in both the 2001 and the 2002 Heineken Cup wins, that was exactly what they did.
And he also...
Stimpson started at 15, Murphy started on the wing.
One of the roughest rib memories I have was Stimpson kicking the penalty at Nottingham Forest ground against Llanelli, and it bounced off the upright down onto the crossbar and then kind of just dribbled over. It was horrific.
So the final spot for Miles Benjamin. That's well done. Good, there
we go.
Good 15.
All done.
Alassane Tuilagi, surely.
That's who I'd go for.
It is Benjamin. I've got down Benjamin. But if you want to change that to Alassane Tuilagi, be it on your head. History will not judge you kindly.
Leicester fans, what's your reaction to that? At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And I suppose it's going to be tough to pick, because next in the league, we're going down the league from 1 to 12. As they finished last season. So next will be Exeter. We should probably talk about the upcoming games this weekend. I love the fact there's proper rugby on again.
It's great, isn't it?
That few weeks in the wilderness was tough, wasn't it?
But it was tough.
We've made it through. Both games this week are on Saturday, and they're quite sociable times for us viewing it in the Northern Hemisphere. South Africa against New Zealand is at 4:05 on Saturday. And then Argentina v Australia, a couple of jars. 20 to midnight.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah, that'd be good. That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm at a wedding on Saturday night. So
who's
Grant's?
Oh, great.
Is it like a really, really good old friend, or is it one you can just sneak out and watch the rugby in your hotel room?
They're both.
No, good old friend. But I might just sneak off anyway.
Yeah. So South Africa, New Zealand. I can't wait for this one. In South Africa, there'll be a different team.
Yes.
Yep.
That level of physicality will up again, I'm sure.
Although
it was their defence, was the amount of Australians that just got stopped dead on the game
line.
Literally.
Yeah. It's a massacre. Like Gallipoli.
They're so strong. But New Zealand going there, what do you reckon? What do you make of this game?
I don't know if it's going to be this week, but New Zealand will be getting beaten. I mean, I've just got a funny feeling that they're getting... Do the way they peak too early and all the rest of it. I've just got a feeling that they're going to be stopped. Maybe not this week, but it's going to be soon.
I think it's going to be a very narrow win again. Like 3-4 points in it. I think New Zealand will sneak it.
I don't know. I can't call it. Yeah, New Zealand then.
Yeah, I think New Zealand. I just think when you look at the key matchups, they don't have South Africa don't have a recognised, experienced international eight, and New Zealand have got the best player on the planet playing eight. New Zealand have got Dan Carter back at 10. South Africa have got a very, very promising but still inexperienced Andre Pollard.
Dan Carter does feel to me like, after a lot of pressure coming his way, he's done the right things, played consistent rugby, and it's all coming up Dan Carter again.
Yeah, you look back over the last 4 years, and we were going, "Oh, will he make the World Cup? Will he?" Oh, they're wrapping him in cotton wool.
Yeah,
and now they're just unleashing him at the right time.
Yeah.
Still handsome as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Etzebet up against Retallick. That'll be a hell of a battle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's either... If Etzebet gets hold of him, it's all Etzebet. But I've got a feeling Retallick's just going to be running all day like he always does. Etzebet is different kind of... He's a different species, isn't he?
It was a point was made on Twitter that his second row partner doesn't look like a different specimen
Lude De Jager.
He's very, very tall, but doesn't look like a top-class international second row. He just looks like a bit... He looks like a schoolboy player.
Like a farmer. He looks like a big farmer.
He looks like a fat Ian Henderson.
Yes, I can see that. So,
But you don't get into a South Africa team unless you're a bit tidy.
Exactly. Especially in the second row. Yeah. They've got plenty of them.
So, I can't see anything but a New Zealand win, even in South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, you convinced me now it is going to be a New Zealand win.
Yeah, it will be close, so, and it should be a really good game. And then Australia
travel to Argentina.
Yeah. Now, this has been the one game over the past few seasons that Argentina have been so close to winning. I've been willing them to win this fixture every time it happens.
Isn't it interesting, though, that Australia had the better of South Africa in the scrum in the last 5-10 minutes
it's
of the match?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And will the dynamic have shifted? Because that's basically where Argentina just won penalty after penalty against Australia's scrum. And Australia have had yellow cards for their props and things against Argentina because they just cannot cope with the Argentine scrummaging.
And the Argentine scrummaging wasn't great against the All Blacks. It was good, but it wasn't absolutely dominant.
No, but that New Zealand scrum is very good with Franks and Woodcock.
Yeah. And what's his name? The old fella.
Mialamu.
Mialamu's still knocking around.
36, yeah. It's like his legs are carved out of wood, isn't it, Mialamu?
Yeah, fine mahogany.
Yeah.
I think an Australia victory.
I do. I think Argentina should be strong enough to get field position and get territory from their pack. But I think that Australia team is looking really, really good at the moment. They're peaking at the right time.
Australia win by 7 points.
Yes. Yeah. I do like Nicolas Sanchez for Argentina, though. I think he does the right thing with that team. Decision making is very good. Kicks at the right time, controls the game nicely.
Do we know why they rested Hernandez? Was he just sore or something? Or
don't know. Don't know.
Because they did explicitly say he's been rested. He's not injured. Rested. So he might come back for this test.
That'd be interesting.
I'm looking forward. I think Australia is really going to start clicking, and those Bledisloe Cup games, well, as stupid as they are,
I can't wait for them.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm never going to call them stupid. That's cool.
Yeah.
And in the Pacific Nations Cup, the fixtures there, it's not long until the home nations. We're all back in business. 8th of August, Wales Island.
3 weeks then.
Yep.
Wow. Awesome.
And then it's the following week. It's Ireland, Scotland, England, France.
So this week's fixtures. Why is that? Oh, they're all in the middle of the night for us here
because
they're played in USA. We've got Fiji versus Samoa, Canada versus Tonga, and United States versus Japan. So Fiji,
I think Japan are going to win the tournament.
They may well do. I'd say Fiji, Samoa, and Japan. They're the teams that won last weekend, but they're probably the three who are going to be the best, going to be
Which
the strongest.
Which of these teams do you think is going to get a major scalp in the World Cup, if any?
Well, Samoa and Japan are in the same group, aren't they? And the United States in the same group as well?
Samoa, Japan,
USA are all in the same group. None of those are going to beat South Africa.
My God, has South Africa just got a passport to the next round?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's ridiculous.
And Tonga are in the same group as New Zealand and Argentina. So you'd have to say unlikely. Fiji are in the same groups: England, Wales, Australia.
Tonga beating Argentina is one I can imagine.
Yeah, you wouldn't put it past them. And then Canada in the same group as France and Ireland.
Not likely, is it?
Not likely.
Maybe a little while ago. I mean, Canada did qualify for the quarterfinals in, was it 91, perhaps?
Yeah,
but you just can't see it now. They're too. They've got some real quality, but then too many mediocre players.
You are right, because who was the player that retired last World Cup? Or he's meant to play last World Cup. I can't remember. There's a guy who'd been to 4 World Cups.
One of the props.
Yeah, no, not Rod Snow, if that's who you're thinking of. It was, I can't remember his name now. It'll come back to me.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, before we're done, there's one. Have you seen the big gig that's going to be happening to launch England's bid in the World Cup? I'm not talking about an opening ceremony or anything. You've seen it. There's an advert knocking around.
Sorry, enlighten me.
There's an O2. I'll show you the advert. It's an O2 priority advert. So O2 obviously sponsor the England rugby team. And they've got a concert that's happening, which you can get tickets for, and you can be there to launch, to wear the rose and support the England boys. And it's featuring Take That.
Not UB40?
No. Oh, yeah, with their carry me home. But the advert features fans, England fans, carrying England players on their shoulders with the, obviously, the thought with carry them home. Carry them home. So the advert has literally got people carrying them.
Do you know what this reminds you of?
Have you seen it?
Have a look.
Oh, no. I'm going to hate this, aren't I?
No, there's a player in a walking down a typically English street with someone on his shoulders.
Typically English council estate.
Yeah, I hope a typically English cafe. Diverse group of English people are going to be carrying him.
It's Joe Marler coming up some escalators. Oh, no, he's on someone's shoulders. A little weedy ginger bloke. He's carrying Zangief quite comfortably. Awful. Courtney Laws on an old man's shoulders by a bus stop. Owen Farrell just taking a mint off a girl whose shoulders he's on. Johnny Wilkinson.
Great acting, loitering Johnny. In the background.
His acting gets worse.
Haskell.
Oh no, it's so awful. It's so CGI as well, isn't it? It's like the old blue screen or whatever it is.
And there's Take That.
Big Luth is on Howard's shoulders.
The three surviving members of Take That.
In fact, who was Gary Barlow carrying? Let's have a look again. Gary Barlow's got. Is that Ben Foden?
No.
Can't be Ben Foden.
Yeah.
Ben Foden.
He's not making
And that's Stephen Myler. It's all North. It's obviously Take That had a gig in the Midlands. Let's get three of the Northampton boys down.
Who's one of the end?
That's Mark from Take That is carrying Stephen Myler.
Yeah, in the middle one.
Big Luth.
Big Luth being carried by Howard, and Gary Barlow's got Ben Foden on his shoulders.
I bet Foden insisted that he was carried by Gary Barlow.
If there's an advert with a boy band in, I'm in it.
I've got to be carried by the leader.
Why am I not carrying people?
Carry them home.
That's horrendous.
I quite like it.
Quite funny, I get it, right? But do you know what it also is? It's also, do you remember when you went to the cinema and there's the Orange adverts where they just had to ram phones into like new film scripts?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And that's exactly what that is there. Exactly what it is.
I just like it. They've gone, right, so the big theme is, our big strapline is carry them home. What can we come up with? Why don't we have people carrying them?
Well, literally or metaphorically? Yeah.
We want the nation to metaphorically carry the people. Oh, so we'll show the nation literally carrying the people.
I like it. Right, so I'll post a little video of that at Rugby Podcast so you can go and have a look at it and watch the rugby this weekend. Tell us who your Exeter fans, tell us who your all-time Pro 15 is. React to anything you've heard on the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us your feedback there. We passed through 200 comments on iTunes.
Oh, have we really?
Oh.
Are they all positive still?
And it means a lot. Well, I don't mind whether they're positive or never.
That wasn't
negative.
The question.
They are almost exclusively positive. So good. Yeah.
Put some negative ones down. Let's try and even it
out. I don't mind, but do you know what? It means a lot, because to take some time out of your day to bother to write a little review and stuff.
It's the least that I expect. I do this for an hour a week. The least you can do is type me a message for 5 minutes. At least.
But when you look at other podcasts, they just don't have that. We appreciate the how you listen, not just that you do listen. So thank you very much.
I haven't read it for ages, but yeah.
Cool. That's another one for the after dinner speech there, JB.
I was about to say something very silly then, so I'm glad that I retracted what I was about to say.
Wow, so he's now self-editing.
I know.
He's moved on. Right, we will see you next time. And Phil, nice one.
Cheers, Tim.
JB in a bit.
Thank you, Tim.
Littles.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.